Hello and welcome to our INE, Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology, office hours call for the month of, October 2017. I cannot believe it's October. It feels like this year has flown by. Is anybody else noticing that? It's just like, woo, it's almost the end of the year. Whenever October hits, I'm like, oh, it's the new year, right? Because even though there's 3 months left, they go so fast because we have Halloween and a shrine event and Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and all this other stuff. So just flying by. We're a month out from our shrine event. So if you haven't registered your bonus ticket yet, everybody that's on this call has a bonus ticket. If you haven't been getting an email about registering your bonus ticket, then please do let us know. And Lynn, if you don't mind putting it in the chat, we can put the link there because you guys can come and join us. So, and you also can bring a friend, and I would really highly encourage you to bring somebody with you. And even if you can't come, to give your bonus ticket to somebody, because we really want to spread the word and get out to new people about this amazing functional medicine, nutritional endocrinology world that we're part of. And I see Toni on the line, and she's going to be one of our presenters. And if you've never heard Toni speak before, she's totally amazing. So we're here because you guys have this as a part of your program, and it's a place where you can come and share. You can share successes, which I love to hear, successes of how you're putting this into your practice. I'd love to hear questions, and I'd love to hear you asking for help with particular client cases, and that's how we all learn, is by sharing cases and digging in. In our NEPT program, the full-blown certification, we do these pretty much weekly calls where people bring cases, and all of us learn. I learn from the cases because every person is unique, right? And we can't teach you a protocol that's going to work for everybody. And what we're teaching you is a thought process and a way to think and a way to explore and a way to go deep such that you're going to be able to figure out what's going on even if you don't know right away. Right? Because you're understanding the pathways. And even if you don't know the pathways particularly, you don't know all the cofactors and all the vitamins, minerals, and other things that are required as you dig, you're going to learn a lot. And we had a couple of those recently, one just a few weeks ago, where someone had a very unusual presentation, and they won't bore you with all the details, but it was a Dutch test, and they showed up with not a 5-alpha reductase excess, which is what we see a lot, but a 5-beta reductase. I'm like, I know what to do for 5-alpha reductase excess. If you don't know what that is, then it's something that is done in the steroid hormone pathways. And I'm like, what do we do for that? So we started digging, and what we came up with was this person probably had stagnant bile flow based on looking at pathways and looking at the research. We had another one come up recently as well, and it was slightly different than that. I can't remember the exact details, but again, it's like, what is that pathway? Let's look. It was just 2 days ago, and it was a guy who, let me think if I can remember, don't remember what exactly it was, but we were looking at pathways again and going, this is an area to explore. Like, why is this? And it gave us a pathway to start exploring down. Because doctors aren't going to do that with them. They're just going to say, we know what to do with that. Here's a drug. Oh, your testosterone's low. Here's a drug. Had somebody recently that I just spoke to yesterday, one of my private clients or ERC clients at high level. And he is a male and has been told he had low blood testosterone before. His doctor put him on stuff and the guy wanted to put him on pellets. And he said, no, I'll do the cream, but I'm not doing pellets. And that's when he joined our program. And we started looking at it, and he was a case where it was contraindicated to give this guy progesterone or even possibly DHEA and pregnenolone until we got some of his pathways fixed, because he was aromatasing too much, and that's the conversion from testosterone into estrogen, and he was doing that too much. So he had high estrogen but low testosterone, but he also had a 5-alpha reductase excess, which means that what testosterone we were giving him, he was taking, was converting to DHT, dihydrotestosterone, which is the more carcinogenic, and it's been linked with prostate cancer. So, and going through this and not just having the, okay, what's deficient? Let's give it to the person. We want to be thinking deeper than that. What's deficient? Maybe temporarily we are going to give that if it's not contraindicated, but then where are we going to go from there? What's the next level and the next level to go back downstream to figure out why? Why is he deficient? Why is she deficient? And in his particular case, that's what we're going to be exploring. And there were a couple of things that came up. But in the meantime, I don't want to give him testosterone, even though he needed it. I didn't want to give him DHEA, even though he needed it. I didn't want to give him pregnenolone, even though he could have used that to make more cortisol, which he needed because he was flatlined. This guy was just, everything was shunting into estrogen. And then the estrogen was shunting in, or the testosterone that wasn't going to estrogen was going to DHT. This guy was a timeline, and there was no way that we wanted to do that. So what I had to do is work with him on, let's slow down these pathways. Let's give you aromatase inhibitors and 5-alpha reductase inhibitors and understand why. Well, some of those are nutrients. Why does he have the nutrients low? We're exploring that. We're going to be looking at his gut. But he had insulin resistance so bad a few years ago that his hemoglobin A1C was 10. And he still has some insulin resistance. His blood sugars are much better. His hemoglobin A1C is like 5.3. But he's also got some issues with the sugars not staying where they should be, and we're exploring that and looking deeper into that. But excess insulin can trigger the excess of the 5-alpha reductase and the aromatase. So, you know, we're working on that. And he does have, his insulin is higher than what we like to see it, but still within the medical standards. It was like 6.6. Okay, so it's all this. So we're looking at that in more detail. And just looking at that one test, we're going to do the rest of the test next week, but we had, the way this program works, he had set up that, the go over the Dutch test first. It gave me so much insight into what's going on. So I want you to have that ability to do that, whether your person's coming in with brain fog, whether they're coming in with gut stuff, or they're coming in with blood sugar imbalance, whether it's sex hormones, whatever it is, that you're going to always be that sanity, that voice of sanity in their life, that's saying, okay, why? I'm not just going to give you B6 here. Why do you low in B6? Oh, you're low in B6 because you eat a lot of processed food and you don't get enough in your diet. Great, that's an easy solution. But, you know, you have people that are eating plenty of this stuff, even taking supplements, and it's not making a dent. So it's really cool to be able to understand that. And that's my goal in life, is just pass all that wisdom and that understanding on to you so you can help people on this deep level that they deserve. So the way that these calls work is that you get to ask me questions. You get to share. Oh, what happened? The recording is in process. Sorry. Oof, I thought the recording wasn't happening. You get to share with me what's going on for you in your practices. Or if it's just you're working on yourself or you're working on a family member, wherever you are, we're all at different places in our evolution through this. I've been doing this work for 25 years with patients and clients, and another 5 years before that, 7 years before that, working on myself and then training. So we all have different levels of expertise in here, and we can all learn from each other. So if you have questions about a particular case, you want to share a success that you've had, you want to share a technique that you figured out or a process you figured out that you can share with others that's working well for you, please do share it. The way you can do that is *2 on your telephone keypad, and if you're on the web, there should be a raise hand button that you can press. Or you can type it into the chat or the Q&A box. The chat, if you guys get real chatty, the chats fly by me really fast, so I don't always catch all the questions. So if you put it in the chat and I don't see it, go ahead and put it in the Q&A box, which is right next to the chat box. Questions, comments, questions about labs, cases that you're working on that you want some help with. Anything at all, I'm game, I'm here for you. So *2. Let's see. Wonderful, Apollo, I'm so glad that you're thinking about coming. We do have a list of people who are looking to share rooms. So, wow, you found a flight for only 135 round trip. Get it. Grab it. Grab it. Figure out the, you figure out the rest when you get there. You will find somebody to share with, or you'll find a, you know, a local Airbnb or something. I would do it. Go for it. Yay. 135 round trip. You ain't gonna, it ain't gonna get better with that. Tony, thank you for kind words about, speaking. Oh, Tony, when people hear you speak, I can't even come up with words that are big enough to share who you are and how you show up and how inspiring you are. Tony has been in our program. She came to the very first Shine, and she spoke. When was the first time she spoke? I think it was it last year's Shine or this SIV? I think it was last year's Spring into Vitality, and we were all blown away. We were totally blown away. Asked her to come back and speak at Shine in the fall. She did, blown away. You know, just so inspirational and so much practical strategy. And she gave a bonus call to some of the people who joined your program. And then she also, we wanted her to come back for Spring into Vitality this spring, but she couldn't make it. She had some silly family reunion. But anyway, we're looking forward to having you here. And her talk is about, we're going to talk lots of practical strategy, and she's going to talk on the third day. She's going to talk about, now that you know all this stuff and now you have all these great strategies, how the heck are you going to get these people to actually do them? And she's a master at that. She's just amazing. All right, so who else? Questions? I don't see any other questions. Is that just going to be quiet today? Tony, you've got to have something to ask or share. Susan. Hi, Susan from Lockhart, Texas.
Can you hear me just pop?
Or from my backyard.
I know, right? Hang on.
Wait, Susan. Suddenly, it's coming out the wrong place. Speak again.
Okay, I'm unmuted on my end.
Hey, okay. I think you guys are hearing me, but I'm...
You're not hearing me?
Okay, I'm trying to figure out... I am hearing you, but I'm trying to figure out where I'm hearing you from. Give me a second. Speak again, Susan.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, how weird. This wasn't working. I bought a new headset because this one wasn't working. Apparently, it was still hooked up, but wow. Can you hear me as well, guys? Was I faint before? Now I'm here. Okay.
You're actually much clearer now.
How bizarro. I'm talking into my new headset, and my old headset is sitting there with your voice, and it wasn't working last week. It was like the USB connector was bent and whatever, so I bought a new one. Holy cow. There's so many weird things that are happening in my life right now that are just unexplainable.
That's pretty
right.
Fun.
That's hysterical. All right. Great. Hi, Susan.
Hi. All right. So I have a question regarding my son. He's 24. He's eating really well. I mean, of course, because I've been through Sweet Spot and I'm on the Grand Program and now CMDS. I mean, pretty much my family's on board with how I eat.
Yeah.
He's amazingly keeps me on track, too. Now, he's had an issue with his eyes that I'm just a little bit stumped as to, other than constantly working on the gut, where else to look.
Sure. Well, how old is he again? Remind me how old he is.
He's 24.
24. Okay. Got it.
He's had this for probably 5 years or so. And what it is his eyes are really red, kind of right at the base of the eyelashes. So immediately I thought it was maybe those mites or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we've treated it with, like, the castor oils and tea tree, you know, all the stuff that I kind of found online. And that's not really doing anything. And then there was
when you say castor oil, are you applying the castor oil to them, or are you doing hot packs, castor oil, I mean, putting it with hot packs or cold or compresses or anything like that?
No, just applying the oil on the actual eyelash.
Yeah,
area.
They have those really cool brushes you can use to apply castor oil, like a mascara brush.
We were just using Q-tips.
Oh, okay.
you know, just to smother the things that they were most. But that didn't really seem
that
to
didn't
be
do it.
Much.
Okay. And is it both just the lower lids, and is it both sides pretty evenly?
Primarily lower lids, and same, yes, both sides evenly.
Okay, but a little bit on the upper as well, so.
A little bit, yes.
Okay. Okay.
Now, it gets very bad when he's very tired, you know? I mean, he's a kid, and sometimes he burns the candle at both ends. He's 24.
Oh, yeah.
So really bad, and his eyes even get bloodshot on top of it.
Okay.
So, but here's the thing that's puzzled me. He went on a vacation a couple months ago to Key West before the hurricane.
Mm.
And when he came back, he walked in the door, and I looked at him, and I said, oh, my gosh, your eyes look fine. So I'm like, salt water.
Mm.
So I'm a little stumped, and it, you know, of course this really bothers him, having this issue, and he's like, Mom, why can't you figure this out for me?
So did it come back as soon as he came home? Did it start up again? How long did it take before that happened?
Oh, you would ask that.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm modeling right what we want to be looking at, and I sometimes ask the question and it just comes out. I don't know necessarily what path I'm going down, but it's data gathering, and you start to like, yeah.
Right, and that's why I thought I'd pick in your brain, see if I can make sense out of this.
Yeah.
Maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Week and a half, 2 weeks. Okay, and So the first thing I thought when you said that he was away, so salt water is great thought. And then the other thought is it was, you know, an allergy type symptom. So laundry soap, something that you're using, something in the house that he's sensitive to, something in his room, right? So those are the kinds of things you want to rule out. But the salt water certainly can. So you can test that one. You can have him do salt water compresses on his eyes every day.
I told him to just fill up his sink with salt water and stick his head in it.
He could do that, but that's not a lot of exposure, right? Because when you're in the sea, you're in there a lot. So I would probably do salt water compresses and have him sleep with those on. He can get a little, you know, one of those eye pillow kind of masks to cover it up and hold them in place. But that way it's there for a long time. Like when we're doing tea tree oil on a foot, right, to deal with a fungus, we don't just immerse the foot in, take it out, and think it's going to work. You know what I mean? So we wrap the foot in gauze that's soaked in tea tree oil and put a sock on and make them sleep that way, right? So it's the length of exposure. So that might be something to think about.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, okay, so but why, right? Why is he having that?
Exactly.
And it came right back. So then we want to look at what's in the – is there something in the environment? Could it be a laundry soap issue or something – you know, does he have bed bugs? You know, who knows what he might have in his room. I don't like to even walk near my kids' rooms because of, you know,
yes,
the stuff. Yes. You know, the smells and the stenches and the who knows what else. Right?
That's interesting. You should say that. It's like, huh, that's a possibility.
Yeah, something in there that, you know, I don't know about your kids, but they take food to their room. And I go, and, you know, there's crumbs in their bed. And how often do they change their sheets, for God's sake? Right?
Right.
I don't change their sheets. They have to do it. And, like, they periodically do it, but I don't know if it's enough. You know what I mean? So there's those things. Because it was gone for a week. It could have been that it was being treated with salt water. But it's back. So we wonder, like, what's causing it to come back. Because if it was just a, like, you know, some kind of cut that wasn't healing and it was being exposed to some, you know, therapeutic salt baths, it wouldn't come back. But there's something there that's making it come back.
Right. Okay.
Makes sense. You know, and the other things that I thought of, you know, we talk seborrheic dermatitis. We often see that on the scalp. Has he ever had anything on the scalp?
He has complained of dandruff, yes.
Okay, so a lot of times that seborrhea is either a fatty acid deficiency or a B6 deficiency, and you can actually get a pharmacist to make a B6 cream. They may be able to do it without a prescription because it's like, it's just a vitamin, right? Putting it in some kind of base that's good for the eyes. Or you can simply take the castor oil and get some liquid vitamin B6, and put it in there. I don't know if you can get liposomal even better because it's in an oily kind of base. So check around to see if Seeking Health or somebody like that would have a liposomal B6. And then you can just apply. If you do, then you can just apply it without the cream. Then it's an oil base and it'll stick. And the other thing I thought about was a vitamin A, because that would be related to skin and mucous membranes.
Right. The fatty acids and the vitamin A, we found that he's been dosing pretty heavy on those things. So, and it's not.
Try them topically. Try it topically.
Topically.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Go on Amazon and look up castor oil. That you can actually get like a mascara brush and a little, they'll sell like a little empty vial. It's clear, just like a mascara. And you can put the castor oil in it, but you can put whatever. You can make it this nice little combination. You can play with different kinds of combinations and he sticks it in there, sticks the brush in and just brushes it from the base of the lid all the way up. So that's a possibility.
Hey.
They're like $2. Like literally, they're $2 on Amazon.
B6 and vitamin A topically.
Yeah, and then maybe mix some flax oil or something that's an omega-3. You know, you'll have to play with it. Maybe get several vials and play with them and see which one works better. Try one eye with one way and one eye the other way and see if there's a difference.
Cool. Okay. It just didn't occur to me to look at topically.
Yeah, yeah, to me it seems like you really want to rule out an environmental thing.
Right.
And definitely try, because, you've got to give them Band-Aid relief even if you're not getting to the root cause. And if salt water compresses helps, great. But it seems to me that it didn't solve the problem because it came back.
Well, that's interesting, too, that it's his room, because he's going to be moving out probably, in about a month. Give or take, and if it goes away, it'll like, well, there's your sign.
there it goes, right? Do you use natural laundry soaps or anything? Could it be something?
I am doing all clean stuff. I have for years.
Yeah. Now, but, I do too, but my kids somehow found out about their friends using dryer sheets, and one of my kids anyway, bought these stupid perfume crappy dryer sheets. And he throws it in his clothes. So there may be something like that. They also, always use the natural deodorant and natural whatever. And suddenly, they close to their friends and they're using crap.
Yeah, he's using the deodorant that I make with and arrowroot and coconut oil.
Good.
We don't use dryer sheets. I use those wool balls and I'll sometimes douse them with essential oils if I want.
Okay, wait a sec. Hang on, though. Wool is, for some people, is an allergen.
Wool is?
Yeah. Does he have any other? Yeah, there's a lot of people who are allergic. My sister she made me this sweater once, and she knitted it, and she's allergic to wool, and she said it was miserable, but I wanted it to make it for you. I'm like, you didn't have to do that. But some people are allergic and they get the, and the histamines, right? It's a histamine type reaction happening when things get red like that. So it could be that. And if you're using wool dryer sheets or wool, whatever those balls are, and there's any remnants on his pillow case, that's a possibility too. I'm just grasping at straws here, girl. So that's because that's what we have to do, right? We have to play detective and try to like rule out, rule in various possibilities.
Okay. Well, I can do without dryer balls for a while.
Yeah, give it a try.
It's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just see, And meanwhile, have them do the stuff to clear it. If the saltwater complex is clear, it great. But if there's more to it. A deficiency of something, then that could help. Especially if he also has the itch on the scalp.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that I've really correlated the two. So that's something to look at.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, that gives me something to work on.
Super. One last thing. I just, things all pop in my head at the same time. On B6, right? So if it is something, look for signs, external signs of B6. And in CMDS, that first module of the assessments, there's all those nutrient what do you call them, inventories, right? So look to see if B6, if he shows any other signs of possible B6 deficiency. In females, it might be, you know, period stuff, right? Irregular periods or dysmenorrhea or whatever, or neurotransmitter stuff, difficulty focusing, anxiety, depression, tendency to be a little OCD about things.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Now, maybe it's a B6, and you know, it could be a genetic pathway where he just needs more B6 than usual because of an impairment there. So that's a thing you can try topically. I mean, orally, B6.
Okay, that could be huge. I'll go back and look. He's filled out all of those papers for me.
Great. Yeah, look to see the A and the C and the fatty acids. The A and the B6 are the three that would be most connected, but it's worth a try, worth a look.
Sure.
You got a really compliant boy there. I mean, that he's... Yeah.
Well, he started me on this whole journey back in, oh my gosh, he was a junior or sophomore in high school, and we played varsity basketball, of course. And back at that time, he was a big fan of Steve Nash, and Steve Nash was one of the first NBA players who came out and said he was going gluten-free.
Wow.
And, you know, my son... you know, just he's always been driven to be very good at whatever he puts his mind to. So he says, well, Steve Nash says that his performance has improved by going gluten-free. I think we should, we, not me.
We, not him.
You're so gluten-free. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's
funny. So we've been gluten-free back, you know, for that many years. And then it's just taken off from there as he finds stuff out. And
good.
So, and he was, I'm hoping that he's going to make it to Shine with me, but
he's
starting a new job, and he starts on the 30th, which is right the week before, and he doesn't know if he can get that Friday off. He probably may not, or if he doesn't know what days he has off, so.
Yeah, well, you might even, if he can't make it the whole time, he can, you know, come just for the weekend, and at least he'll get something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My younger son might come. He's been talking about that, like he's been helping us make calls to people to remind them to sign up. He just started that today. And I said, well, you could come to the event. And he goes, oh, I might do that. So.
Well, my son's very, very interested in this, and I've been talking to him about the need for men in this field. And I think he's starting to see a vision of what he can do. So,
well, you might hook up with Isabel Yang. She's in.
Yes, sure.
Her son came to Shine last year.
I met him Spring Into Vitality.
Right. Oh, yeah. Was it Spring Into Vitality he came to, Shine? Right. I hope he comes to Shine. But he's now looking at going into either naturopathic school or going to medical school and focusing on functional medicine. So,
cool.
Pretty cool. Good. All right. Well, thank you. Great question to get us, you know, get our juices flowing.
That one was just stumping me, and I just didn't know where to go.
Yep.
So thank you. I appreciate your on that.
You're welcome. All right. Take care. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Great. Thank you. So, listening to so many different polar ends of the extremes regarding fats, I'm confused because I know how beneficial ketogenic is, and some people are genetically sensitive to fats. I'm one of them. So, I'm just wanting to clear the confusion about fats and their role, and you know, some people say lard is fantastic and tallow and grass-fed butter, and I'm pretty much sticking to the plant-based ones, but I just want to hear your take on fats and
the fat controversy. Yeah, the fat controversy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I can actually clear all your confusion about it because there's so much, and I think a lot of it is biochemical individuality. So I'm First of all, I'm not a fan of any kind of refined food. So just for the record, right? I don't like to take cakes of protein out of something. I mean, we use protein powders therapeutically. We use oils therapeutically. But for food-wise, I mean, we just should be relying on whole foods. And I'm not a big fan of oils of any time. Certainly lard or tallow or butter. It's just it's just the oil component of the food. It's not the whole food. So those are not whole foods. So you're missing, just by design, coconut oil. I mean, I use coconut oil to an extent, but I don't use a lot of it. And I don't, you know, and I say why. It's culinary, you know, or I'll use MCT oil therapeutically with somebody because they have fungal infections. They have some brain stuff and we really want to get those particular chains of fats to them. But as a rule, I'm not a big fan of any kind of refined food. So I equate lard with white flour. You know, it's the same thing.
Okay.
It's just an extracted food constituent component. So the other thing about it is fat is critically important to health. The brain is, what, 75% fat. Cholesterol is important to health, but we don't have to ingest cholesterol. There's only two fats that we can't make. It's only two. Right? Mm-hmm. There's lots of vitamins we can't make, and we have a lot of vitamin needs, and there's a lot of minerals we can't make. But we can make, there's eight essential amino acids that we can't make. There's only two fats. So everything else we can make if we have enough of those two, theoretically. Now, theoretically, because every pathway in the body from converting one thing to another has a price to pay. And there's usually cofactors, which are usually nutrient cofactors. So if someone can't make a certain fat that they need, it's because there's something broken in the pathway, and we really want to just not just supply the fat they can't make. We want to look at it and see, is it a permanent genetic or, you know, environmental damage that's been done that they'll never be able to make it? And yes, supply it, case closed, got to the root cause, right? But if it's not, if it's like we were talking on a call earlier today about, you know, certain nutrients having key involvement in certain pathways, right? So if we look at, testosterone. We were talking about they had low testosterone because they had high estrogen and they couldn't convert. They were converting too much, right? There could be the opposite where they may have high testosterone and low estrogen because you're not converting. And you always want to look at the pathways. So those pathways are generally vitamin and mineral cofactors. Right, which gets down to getting the right food, but then absorbing the right food, digesting and absorbing the right food. So going back to fats, that's just my bandwagon on that. So fats, we have two fats that we cannot make. Everything else we can make. And if we don't get those two fats, the pathways downstream of them go haywire. And there are reasons. Like people will say, well, a short chain omega-3, right? So that's found in flax or chia. We don't need them. We just need the downstream metabolites, EPA and DHA. But excuse me, I beg to differ, because if that was the case, we would have identified DHA and EPA as the essentials and the other was not, because you could just add this one instead. Am I making sense here? So we need them. We may not have identified all the reasons we need them, but we do. And without them, a person is going to be in trouble. So in terms of fat, everybody needs fat. We need a certain amount. Some people do great on a very low fat diet, you know, 10, 20%. Some people excel on an 85% diet, a ketogenic diet. But if there's liver gallbladder problems, a high fat diet is not going to work well. If there's like an ApoE4-4, you got to be really careful about fat because the body can't process it properly. So I think it goes down to understanding what the fats are, where they're needed. And then how does it work for you? If you're talking for you individually, or if you're talking about one of your clients or patients, it's how do they do? So I kind of like to take a middle of the road, whole foods based, high vegetable, good amounts of the fats they need diet to start with, like as the baseline. And you go, whoa, that didn't work well. Whoa, this person has a sulfur problem. We can't give them so many of those sulfur foods. We got to back off. Whoa, that was too much fat. We got to go down. Oh, their skin's all dry and their hormones are screwed up. They don't have enough fat, right? So it's playing with it. So that is neither good nor bad. Fat is necessary. Excess fat is definitely bad. Deficient fat is definitely bad. But what defines excess or deficient fat is going to be different from one person to the next. depending on their genetics, their previous life, their, you know, their current exposures, et cetera. Is that making sense?
Yeah. And thank you for reminding me about the refinement, because when I sit down to a salad, I love whole black olives, but
mm-hmm.
I also will put a little olive oil on my salad. So I guess, mm-hmm. is it okay to have a little bit of oil, even though it's processed?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. And know that it's not the ideal food, but most people don't have to be 100% pristine perfect for every minute. But for the most part, like I will really work on, I love salad dressings. But my lazy salad dressing is squirt some flax oil, squirt some coconut oil, you know, add some seasonings and I'm done. But when I want to make one, I'm using whole foods. I'm going to maybe use some coconut, some avocado, some nuts or seeds, blended olives, blend vegetables up. So the ideal would be a whole, everything is a whole food. So even the dressings, we're so used to it because it's easy. I mean, face it, it's easier. Squirt a little oil on and add a little lemon and you're done, or vinegar. But really the ideal is to make every food we eat count.
Yes.
So I like to talk about, I like my greens. I like my greens in my meal. If I'm making a pizza, I put greens in the crust. Or if I'm making a wrap, I'll use a wrap that's green, and then I put the greens in there, and then I put my greens in the thing. So everything is super nutritious. And if it comes down to it, when you calculate nutritional value, it's, I think Joel Fuhrman said it, it's like the nutrient value or nutrient density equals the nutrients divided by the calories. So if you've got something that's like 300 calories and has, you know, let's just give it a score of a 10 in terms of nutrient density. Let's just say like a slab of butter, right? You're going, whoo, that doesn't have a huge nutrient value. But if you take something that has this huge nutrient value, you know, kale salad and, you know, olives and all this other good whole foods, and it's huge, and then you go, oh, and there's only 20 calories here. You go, whoa, that's the food that's more nutrient dense. Now, you also have to take into account metabolism and needing calories, right? We can't survive on a 300-calorie-a-day diet. Even if we could get every single one of our nutrients in it, we wouldn't get enough fat. We wouldn't get enough calories, right? So it's all a juggling act. And, if you throw some olive, if you're healthy and you're throwing olive oil on your salad, if you're not and you've got some liver stagnation – and gallbladder sluggishness, or you don't have it and you're squirting a lot of oil on your stuff, then it's going to impact those organs.
That makes sense. But it's definitely better to go for the whole olive or the whole avocado.
Right. Like you said, you love olives. I love, and they give such a nice flavor to my salad. I love putting that on, and then I'll sprinkle some hemp seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually, oftentimes, if I'm, you know, my other laziness is I'll just take a salad and I'll take some avocado and some sauerkraut and I mush the avocado and the sauerkraut in, and now I've got a great dressing.
That's right. Yes. When you talked about the sulfur pathway, brought up another question. If someone has that sensitivity, could that mimic like a FODMAP reaction if they're reacting to garlic and onion?
Yeah, it could very much. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, awesome. I'm so excited to be coming to Shine and see you all again.
I'm excited too. Yeah, lots more. I got to get down to it and finish writing my charts because I have all these beautiful things that I've laid out and I have to actually turn them into digital materials now. So
awesome.
I can't wait.
Can't wait. Yay. Well, thank you for that reminder. Yes, it always comes back to whole foods every time.
Every time, right? I was going to say you can't go wrong with whole foods, because sometimes you can. It depends on if it's the right whole food for that person. But generally speaking, you're going to go down a bad path if you're eating refined foods, because you're going to be missing something.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks, Brenda. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Who else? I don't see any other hands on. Who do I see here? I see Laura and Allison and Tony and Patricia, Susan, another Sue, a Susan we just talked to, Lynn, Paolo, wireless caller, I think that's Glenn. Yep, it's Quero, Texas. That's Glenn. And who else?
I don't know who Cell Phone Montreal is, but Cell Phone Montreal. Go for it. Questions. Let me go see if anybody's typed anything in for me. All right. Tammy. Hey, Tammy in Boston. 60-year-old menopausal woman struggling with thinning hair on the top and frontal area. Progesterone is 0.5 estrogen. And are these numbers, when you give me numbers, here's what I'm going to ask you to do to help. I want to know where that progesterone is being measured, and then in parentheses, the range of normal, because I don't know if it's progesterone, urine, saliva, or blood, and what that lab is saying is normal. And even measurements, this is just 0.05, like 0.05 what? Micrograms per deciliter or whatever. According to her naturopath, her progesterone is very low, and that might be the cause, recommended bioidentical hormone therapy. According to her PCP, the same answer, recommending HRT. She has restless sleep. Do you think going for hormone therapy is the answer? She's on WP thyroid 45 micrograms, TSH 3.5, but blood sugar high. So she's got a lot of, you know, I don't have enough information to ever be able to say that that's going to be the cause, but that's not the cause. Like, what's the cause of the low progesterone? How is it? Now, that's estrogen, so I'm assuming you said it's blood, right? So estrogen in the blood, that doesn't mean a damn thing to me, quite frankly, because I want to look at what are the estrogen, E1, E2, E3, what are the estrogen metabolites for 4-16 and 2? What did the methylation look like from that? So I always do like a Dutch test or a Meridian Valley 24-hour. Progesterone can definitely be create restless sleep because it's required. But I think giving her progesterone could very well be amazing for her. But is it the answer, right? She's on WP thyroid at 45 micrograms, but her TSH is still 350. So there's some issues going there. And her blood sugar is high. So root cause might be blood sugar or gut. And we have to look at that. And without really knowing what all those estrogen metabolites are, we don't know, and we don't know what her testosterone is, right? Is she aromatasing? Does she have super low testosterone that's all being converted into estrogen, right? So there's not enough information here. That said, doing progesterone therapy at this point could be quite helpful, assuming she is able to use the progesterone. She will, because you're giving her progesterone, she's going to use it for progesterone. Hopefully she's not going to, you know, start to convert it downstream into estrogen. So not enough information. And I want, when you guys are getting information and when you're giving me information, please tell me blood estrogen, you know, blood hormones are, or urine hormones or saliva. And then units, because that differs from lab to lab sometimes. And then what they're in parentheses, the range that lab thinks. So if I'm looking at a severe deficiency versus a not severe deficiency, contrary to popular belief, I do not have every single lab range memorized. I do have the ones that I see all the time memorized, but a lot of the lab range, I use my cheat sheet. I use the tracker, the Master Health Tracker lab analysis sheet as a cheat sheet to see. So I always look there. Okay, so that's it. Yes, she might get some great benefit from progesterone, but on the other hand, why does she have a thyroid problem, right? We just assume, well, she's on thyroid medication, she has a thyroid problem, it's being dealt with, but it may not be. What's her free T4? What's her free T3? What's the ratio between them? Is that estrogen impacting her thyroid? Because high estrogen can impact the free versus the total hormone level. So if it affects the thyroglobulin, the thyroid binding globulin, not thyroglobulin. So estrogen will raise that. Was she on the pill? Has she been on the pill? There's so many questions. So this is good that you put that up there. And address her blood sugar. That's like huge. You got to address her blood sugar. Like, why is her blood sugar high? And here's the thing. If you never get the blood sugar under control, the thyroid will never get under control. Okay. Let's see. There's another one. No, let me look at chat. Let's see. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. So they're talking about Shine. So you guys have the bonus, shinelivebonus.com. So go ahead and book your tickets. I'm so glad, Paula, that you're going to be able to make it. And I'm so sad, Allison, you can't. I miss you. Does it sound familiar to the energy experience over my, okay, they're talking about the Qigong. We do Qigong. David, if, for those of you who haven't met David Weinthal, he's an OMD, Oriental Medicine Doctor, and his Qigong classes are just amazing. I've never been able to make it because I have to be preparing for my presentations, but everybody has had profound experiences about that, and we do those Saturday and Sunday mornings. Lynn says, I love listening to her go down the path to find an answer. And that's the more you guys listen to me do that and the more that you guys really get into that, that's the way it needs to be. I'd be curious from Allison, is that how they taught you to solve problems in medical school? You know, because that's, I think, the missing link in medical school is not teaching people how to just go down all the possible pathways, but more like boxing people into diagnoses. And differential diagnosis is a, you know, it's a great course. And but it also is a little bit limiting, in my opinion, my humble opinion. And then I don't, let's see. Allison, Rita Marie, you're amazing. It's only when we try to do this that we realize the enormous amount of work involved. I have to remember, done is better than perfect. Done is better than perfect on what? What did I do? I don't remember. I'm sorry. I'm kind of missed the conversation. But so Allie says, Dr. Allie, the problem I find with VHRT is that it works so well, people decide they don't need to do the lifestyle work and stop their vitamins and minerals. It works well at solving at symptoms, right? But it's not really helping them with other things that may develop as a result of that. And then you're constantly having to try to find that balance. So yeah, and then it overlooks like the underlying blood sugar imbalances and stress and all that. It says reference range for serum progesterone 0.2 to 2.8 for on the follicular phase. Periovulatory is 0.4 to 3.8. Let me see what she said. I think she said it was 0.2 or something. 0.05. Holy crap. Yeah, so she's super, super low. Regardless of the stage, she's super, super low. And she's 60. So yeah, but still it's 0.2 to 0.4 is the postmenopausal and hers is 0.05. So super low progesterone. So she'll get help by doing that, but I wouldn't stop there. And I would probably recommend that she just do it at this point, but I would say don't stop there. Tony wants to know, have we seen many cases of secondary or pituitary hypothyroid? I'm working with someone right now, and I actually got her doctor agreed to do a TRH, thyroid-releasing hormone, to see if the problem is pituitary or if it's hypothalamic. But this is a person who went in with symptoms of hypothyroidism, low thyroid hormones, but the highest her TSH has ever been is a 0.8. And when we saw that, Lisa's working with her in ERC, and Lisa and I both like independently said, holy cow, this is a secondary, and they're treating it like it's a primary. And so now they put her on thyroid medication and her TSH goes down to like 0.01. Okay. So that's not good. Right. And regardless, and then she was having, a little bit of palpitations from that, so they backed it off. So it's a long list, but I think that definitely it has to be looked at. I think it's overlooked. Her doctor said, oh, well, you know, it could be whatever. I'm like, no, we have to rule out the pituitary. It could be a pituitary adenoma. I mean, you could help people identify something that's pretty, you know, serious or may need surgery. She could have a pituitary adenoma. It could be her stress level. It could be that she's been under so much stress for her whole life that the cortisol is pushing it down. Two clients are presenting a secondary based on the thyroid pattern tools. Yeah, so the tools, the pattern for secondary hypothyroidism, meaning that it's not coming because of the thyroid, it's coming from a higher level, is the TSH is low, but also the thyroid hormones are lower, their symptoms. So typically with a TSH very low, unless they're on medication, you'd expect to see their thyroid hormones very high, and that would be hyperthyroidism. So my thought with the secondary is that the thyroid isn't getting enough stimulation to produce more. It's just doing what it's told, basically, right? The pituitary is giving it this little command, a little command, and it's just not enough to cause that thyroid to kick in, right? So we need, you know, at a TSH at about 1.5, you're going to see the thyroid there, but we don't supplement with TSH. There's no drug for giving the person TSH. It'd be interesting if there was, to be able to do that as a challenge, to see if that would kick the thyroid into gear. The problem with that secondary hypothyroidism is over time, the thyroid gets lazy because it's not being stimulated to do much. Right. And then you end up, the person goes on medication, which causes the pituitary to stop even more and the TSH to go down. So the, giving hormones is not something to be taken lightly because it can suppress the person's natural ability to make it. So yeah, we do it while we're looking at the cause. If we can't solve the root cause, then we want to keep giving them that support, but we also want to be able to dig in and get it because every hormone has a negative inhibition loop. So in the thyroid, for example, the TSH is reading the blood. It's going, okay, there's not enough thyroid hormone here. Let me stimulate the thyroid more. Oops, there's still not enough. Let me stimulate the thyroid more. And it just keeps going up. I have seen people with TSHs as high as in the 70s. And Allison, you might have seen them even in the hundreds, right? With all the experience you've had in medicine. But if it's not going up that high, if the thyroid hormone persists at staying low and the pituitary isn't stimulating it, it's not going to produce. It's a pituitary problem. The pituitary isn't reading the blood right, or the pituitary has some sort of dysfunction that's causing it not to produce enough. And it could be an adenoma. It could be just overstress and the CRH is taking precedence over the thyroid. And the hypothalamus, right? Thank you, Tony, for reminding me of that. The hypothalamus, it could be either, right? Because the hypothalamus stimulates the pituitary stimulates the gland itself. And so if the hypothalamus isn't stimulating the pituitary, then that's a problem, which is why I asked this person to go to her doctor and ask them to do a TRH, thyroid releasing hormone, to see is the hypothalamus stimulating the pituitary. In either case, there's been associations with that secondary pituitary hypothyroidism with low levels of dopamine and serotonin. So there's been connections there as well. If you read Dr. Karazian's book, Why Do I Still Have Thyroid Symptoms When My Lab Tests Are Normal? He has a chapter on secondary hypothyroidism on the pituitary influences. So you might want to look at that as well. Okay. TRH, good luck. Like, this is the first doctor I've actually had say he would do it. Most of them have said, what's a TRH? Why would we do that? What's the point? And wouldn't do it. So hopefully they will. And Allison, if you have any comments on that as to why they may not, I don't know if it's a challenge or if it's expensive or if it requires some special intervention. Allison said one of her private patients' TSH is greater than 100. Wow. Well, if her TSH is that high, it could be that she stopped her medication. That's a clear sign. And, you know, the way I've worked with people, they wanted to know, can I go off my thyroid medication? So we'd have them go, say, look, talk to your doctor, of course. But, you know, if they're going to do it, they would lower their thyroid medication. And I wouldn't just get rid of it. I would lower it and see what happens. But constantly measuring that the levels to make sure that it's not going nuts. I had one person, you know, after she was off for 10 days, her TSH went up to like two and a half. I had somebody else who after a couple of weeks went up to 100. That's not a secondary, right? When somebody has TSH over 100, their pituitary is working just fine. Thank you very much. Unless it's overproducing And there are certain types of tumors that can overproduce. Or if there's an ectopic, meaning other than the pituitary side of it, we don't usually see that with TSH. We see it sometimes with adrenal hormones where like a DHEA, somebody has super high DHEA, and we're like, wow, where's that coming from? There could be an ectopic source, meaning some sort of an adenoma tumor that's actually producing that hormone. So there's a lot of things to consider, and I don't mean to overwhelm, but I think the more we understand how it works, the better. Allie says, Dr. Allie says, only rarely needed and likely only possible to be requested by a consultant endocrinologist, not primary care in the UK. Yeah, that's where Allie is. But, you know, I think that there are more cases. I haven't asked for it all that much. I mean, it's probably the third case where I really suspected it. And the tip off was that when she was initially tested, presented with a whole host of thyroid symptoms, but her TSH was normal at 0.8. It was low actually at 0.8, but her thyroid hormones were super low. And with that level of thyroid hormone, I would have expected her TSH to be much higher. So that was a kickoff for us, for Lisa and I. Yeah, great. Anyway, let me see if anybody else. Okay. Hands? Yeah, we have three. We have Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not sure. K. Danforth. Hi.
Hi, that's Kathy.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
Kathy in Atlanta, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. How can we support you today?
Well, I am kind of new to all this in a way, but I've been studying natural medicine for about 30 years. Kind of for my family, my autistic son and my father with kidney disease. And I had a surprise recently where I ended up in the hospital with extremely high blood pressure. I knew that I had blood pressure problems around, say, 155 over 100, 90s to 100.
Yeah.
But I was working with it trying to lose weight. I lost a bunch of weight with the GRAND.
Great
program. And I just, I'm going to go on the green smoothie cleanse again. I'm going to do that to try to lose more weight. So right now I am overweight. I'm 5'10". I'm about 200.
Okay. So what's your goal? Like 150?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay. Got it.
So I've lost 16 to 18 right now, and exercising more, and that happened. I don't know why I gained so much weight. To tell you the truth, I have a pretty good diet, and I'm just suspecting that the blood pressure is linked with the weight, or hoping that that's it. But in the hospital, I could not get out of there without them putting me on some medications and doing some tests that I didn't like. Like the radioactive isotopes.
Oh, to check your thyroid?
To see what's in, to check my heart. They did a stress test, a nuclear stress test.
Oh.
At that point, my blood pressure was up to 240 over 120 or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
But right now, it's about 150, you know, in the usual pattern. And I have the white coat syndrome where the doctor walks in and the blood pressure shoots up.
Right.
You know, a lot of those tests could have been thrown out during the hospitalization.
Right.
So it looks like for this this program, I'm going to need to work on myself.
Yeah.
To try to get myself healthy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think, you know, a couple of things come to mind. First of all, I'm assuming you have your own home blood pressure cuff, right? And if you don't, you get it because you don't want to trust what happens at the doctor's office.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. Okay. So you got that. And then, I would really look at blood sugar. That's a hidden source of hypertension that is oftentimes overlooked. And just because even if you get your blood sugar tested on your normal lab and it comes back to be 85, they think you're fine. And in reality, you may not be. So the
whole
thing.
It was 151.
Ouch.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No,
there was 151 on the way to the hospital.
Your blood
in
sugar.
The ambulance. Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah. So blood sugar will go up when you're stressed out, when you're being carted off in an ambulance. It's going to go up. But what is it typically when you have had tests done, or have you ever done your own blood sugar testing?
Well, I usually do my own. I had gestational diabetes, so that's my warning flag. I usually do my own test just for test, you know, random testing, 2 hours after the meal, and it's usually under 120.
Okay, you're totally, I'm going to stop you right there. That 2 hours after the meal is going to miss all the cases of pre-insulin resistance. And that's where you already, if you're at 120, 2 hours after a meal, you've got a blood sugar, serious blood sugar problem. And that can be causing the hypertension. Because all that insulin, if you're seriously insulin resistant, insulin will affect the linings, the endothelial linings, blood vessel linings, by stiffening them and making them not be elastic and bouncing back and forth, back and forth. Guess what that does? That causes blood pressure problems because you can't get enough blood through the opening. So I would say your big starting point is getting your blood sugar under control.
Okay.
Okay. And if you haven't looked at our insulin resistance program or the, you know, to start with the consumer version of it, the sweet spot, or even, you know, just get our, we have this thing called the metabolic reset kit. And Lynn, if you want to put the list up there, and that's the mini version, you know, if you're mostly a self-starter anyway, at least start with that. And just do the 30-day metabolic reset the way we laid it out. You know, don't even bother with all the testing in advance. Just follow this one page of don't eat this, do eat that, do these five different things in each area. Just do it, like right now, because you can't waste any time. You can figure it out later and figure out what you can add back and whatever, but I do the most serious one of it. Just do everything that it says on that metabolic reset page.
That sounds like a plan.
Great. And Lynn, if you could put that in the chat, I don't know what else, it may be even called metabolicreset.com, but I don't remember what we called it. But that, yeah, that would be where I would start. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
I knew you'd have some, you would shed light on this right away. So I just,
well, when you said it, 2 hours, it's 120. I'm like, oh no. Oh no!
I must have remembered wrong.
No, no, you probably didn't. That's what they told you, and that's why so many people are dying from this stuff. Is because it's bad information.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm with you.
You got this.
Very thankful to you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're totally welcome. Keep reporting back to us.
I will.
And then once you get through that on your own, then I want you to sign up for the insulin resistance practitioner training and start teaching it in your community.
If I can get the credentials to do that, I would love to do something like
that. We will certify you as an insulin resistance coach. You go through that program, you have to pass through the hoops, and you have to do some stuff to pass tests and all that, but we'll certify you as an insulin resistance coach.
Okay, well, we'll be in touch on that.
All right. Yeah, I think that's, you know, whenever you go through something on your own, you're an amazing coach for other people going through it, as long as you have the information that you need.
Great.
Super.
Right.
Thank you,
Thank
Kathy.
You so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Bye. And we have Cell Phone Montreal, and then we have Laura. So Cell Phone Montreal, who's that?
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie, it's Lindsay. How are you?
Oh, Lindsay, hello there. I love your voice. You're always so uplifting.
It was actually perfect timing because I was walking all the way home from the dentist's office, walking by this mad construction, and I thought, oh, don't answer my call. I'm walking by this because nobody will hear a darn thing. Anyway, I just walked through my door and you picked up my call. So it was perfect.
There you go. You're manifesting. That's great.
So my question is, so as I said, I just came back from the dentist and I've struggled with, major problems with my gums my whole life. I was born, I'm in the digestive mastery program and I'm loving it. It's just, oh, it's electric. It's just turned something on me. I absolutely love it. And so that has given me a lot of insight. Just, you know, I was born a C-section baby. I've struggled with digestive disorders my whole life and I'm trying to submit myself as a case, but I have all these family members that I'm submitting before me, as a case study. But all this to say, I just wanted to get your initial take on gut health and gum disease.
Oh, so related, yeah. Totally
right?
Connected.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And you know, the gut's the flora, the mouth flora. We're actually, I can't remember if we're doing it new. I think we are, because she did a skin one. Yeah. So one of the bonuses you're getting for CMDS is an oral flora class with Steph. She's been researching
amazing.
That. So you're going to get that as a bonus, and probably, you know, after Shine, so probably November, December, we'll hook up with her and get that going.
But yeah, they're very much related, and there's a connection between gut flora, mouth flora, et cetera. So if you were born C-section, it means you didn't pass through the vagina and get all those good bacteria, hopefully, that your mom had. Maybe she didn't. So you didn't get to colonize really well, right? Were you on antibiotics as a kid?
Not overly, but I just had suppressed immune function. Like, I'd always get these, like, eye infections that, and I went to see ophthalmologists and no one could really figure anything out. Just those kinds of things. And it wasn't until, let's call it 5 years ago, that my digestive disrupt really started sort of coming to bear with different intolerances and brain fog and tiredness and all the, like, every clear cut symptom, that's linked to the gut.
Whoops. Well, you disappeared, Lindsay. Can you hear me still? Or did I get bumped off? I hope I didn't get bumped off again. I'm still there. Lindsay got bumped off. All right. Well,
yeah, I hear you.
You hear me. Yeah, she got bumped off. I heard almost like a click and then she was gone. So I'll go to Laura and then we'll come back when Lindsay comes back on. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. Hey. Hi. I'm sorry we lost Lindsay, but I actually have a client call in like 20 minutes. So I was like, oh wow, I get to talk for a minute. I'm sorry. So Lindsay, hopefully she'll be back soon.
She'll be back.
I was wondering, kind of talking about the progesterone, it's interesting. I've done a lot of work on sleep and that's been kind of my weak spot. So I've really been doing and working really diligently on getting to bed by 10:30 every night. Ideally 10 o'clock. And kind of resetting my circadian rhythms as we're going into winter time, you know, fall, to really give myself a little bit of adrenal support. And I've done so much around my sleep and still felt like I had like restless sleep and was recently put on bioidentical progesterone. I did that for 2 weeks and I slept. Oh my gosh. I was like, this is like the best thing ever. And I just, really felt like I was getting good quality sleep. And, you know, did that from day 14 to 28. And then last night was the first night without it. And it was like really challenging. I had like hot flashes and sweats and, just really struggled. And I didn't know if this is all new to me personally, if you had any tips or maybe it just takes a little while for the body to kind of adjust to that, because like today is day one of my cycle, and it was like, oh, something so magical happened. I've been working on this for so many years, and then it was like, oh no.
Yeah, so it's progesterone withdrawal, right? So it's like it was at this great level, and then it went down. But here's the thing, right? We usually do, this is the way you prescribe it, you do it in rhythm with the body's natural cycle, so from day 14 to the end. But my guess based on what you're telling me is that you probably need it throughout. You just need different dosing at a different time, right? to take, not put you into super physiologic dose, but to keep you in physiologic balance. So you would know that if you were to do, say, one of those, like Dutch has the cycle rhythm test, where you take it throughout your cycle and you get to see where you need it. And then you'd know how much progesterone would I need during the luteal phase versus how much progesterone would I need during the other. Now, there are reasons, like, why are you not making enough progesterone? That's something to work on. Like, okay, why am I not making enough of this? But in the meantime, getting you sleep is just one of the critical symptomatic reliefs we have to get. And if there's clearly a deficiency. So I would probably follow it up with some testing to see.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't want you to be
like
put
doing
on
a Dutch super test.
Yeah, I think the Dutch test with the cycle mapping would be good.
And would I need to be like, is the fact that I was on progesterone for these past 2 weeks, would that kind of skew things? Like, would it be okay for me to still kind of be doing that while we're doing the Dutch testing?
Well, it depends on what you want to measure. And so if we want to measure the efficacy of that, doing that, since that works so well and going off of it, then what I would typically do, even though it's not baseline, is to actually just take it throughout. Because you won't be able to do the Dutch cycle mapping until your next cycle. Because you have to start it at the beginning of the cycle. So you'd have to wait anyway.
Okay.
So I would probably go through and do the progesterone just like prescribed on this cycle. Then by the time you get to that day one, you're going to be measuring your baseline anyway, right? And I would say that would give you an idea of how well that progesterone is working. Like, what's the differential between being on it and being off it? See what I mean? Because otherwise you'd just see the difference between what your body's doing. You know that level was really a good level because it worked.
Yeah.
Right? We'd want to see if it was too much, if it really pushed it too much to the extreme. But I think I would personally, that's what I would do. I would just do it with the therapeutic intervention in place that, you know, worked and see what it showed. Right? The other way to do
that's
it
really
is
helpful.
Go off of it this cycle, which means you're going to just not sleep throughout the whole month. And then just start the next cycle and do it without. So you've got two choices. What I wouldn't do, let me think. Yeah, no, what I wouldn't do, which wouldn't give us as good information, would be to not take it this cycle. No, take it this cycle and then, let me think. Yeah, if you want to get a sense of how it is on the progesterone, you take it this cycle, you start the test at the beginning of next. If you want to get a sense of what your body was before the progesterone, you'd avoid taking it this cycle, and then you'd go into the next cycle, and then you would avoid taking it through that cycle. So you'd be two more months without it, which is pretty hard.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But you
I
also have melatonin
to sleep.
Yeah, and your Dutch test will test your melatonin. And I know you've in the past had melatonin issues. So I don't know if it's still low. If it's still low, then...
And we haven't retested that, but what's interesting is the iron is still low. So
the iron went back down because it was you had the too high in iron. Yeah, so it stayed low. So, yeah. So it's possible that you got enough melatonin just to make that pathway work, but not enough to give you sound sleep. So I think doing the Dutch test would be the best because that tests the melatonin as well.
And you said that's called a cycle measure?
Yes, the cycle mapping, Dutch cycle mapping.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cycle mapping. Okay.
You go to their site, you can read more about it.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And
set up an account with them. Here's the thing, Aura. Set up an account with them because as a practitioner, they will let you buy up to five tests. You could just buy one if you want, but up to five tests at half the practitioner price. So if you go to the website and order it, it's like $350. If you set up an account with them and you order it for somebody, it's $250. But if you set up an account and you pre-purchase up to five kits, it's $125. Now you'll have to add a little extra for the cycle mapping because that's the basic kit, but still it's a huge, huge, huge savings.
Oh, wow. So just go to their website or is that something that I need to do through NEPT?
You can just go to the website, contact them that you want to be a practitioner. You have already credentials that they'll probably take it, you know, because you're a doctor of of physical therapy, that not necessarily the training that you get is for that, but they may take that. If they don't, you just tell them you're with any PT, and then they'll put you on, you know, and they'll contact us. You might even be on the list of approved already. I think we gave them a list of any PT people that we already knew were approved. But otherwise, they just call us. If it's somebody new, they call us and say, hey, does Mary Smith? And I'm like, she just joined the program last week. We're going to have to wait for a while until I know what her level is.
Yeah, Laura's on the list.
Okay. Laura's on the list. So you're already pre-approved. So just make an account.
Oh, awesome.
There you go.
Okay, thank you for that tip. Yeah, that's so helpful. And I had to tell you, I have a celebration. My sweet husband, I think I told you this, he was like snoring really bad. And well, that wasn't helping with the sleep either.
That wasn't helping.
And we went to see our family doctor, and I love, he's more of a functional medicine. And he told him, you need to lose 15 pounds. You need to listen to your wife. And you need to change your diet and get off the gluten and dairy and sugar and grains. And, it, you know, to be honest, it took the doctor saying that because I've been telling him this for years.
For years,
and
right?
He did it because before, you know, he eats what I make at home. So I know what his breakfast and dinner is, but he eats out with his friends for lunch.
Yeah.
And he took what the doctor said to heart. And in the past 3 months, he has lost 35 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm so proud of him. Snoring completely stopped. His allergies completely went away. He's excited because he's faster on the racquetball court, so he's beating all of his friends now.
Wow.
And I'm, like, so proud of it. But it took the doctor having that conversation, and I was so happy that that's the approach that the doctor said. He was like, you don't need a sleep study. You need to change your diet.
Oh, I'm so happy. And it's so encouraging that there's just regular doctors out there telling people that. Woohoo! We're making progress.
Our family doctor went through his own personal issues with Crohn's and got into functional medicine and changing his diet because of it. And it was music to my ears to hear him say that. And then we just had a follow up, and all of Mark's labs were normal again. His triglycerides were really high. Those are normal. His cholesterol came down. Blood sugar came down. I'm like so proud of him. He's doing so good.
Yay. And so Hugh had given him the information he needed, but he needed the kick in the pants from the doctor to actually make him do what you told him to do.
Yes.
Yes. Great. Oh, wow. I'm excited to hear that. I met somebody that knows you. What's her name? Is it Anne? She runs her business is the Pelvic Health something. And she, Right. Cause she was talking about pelvic health and, you know, she's a physical therapist and she does this pelvic health and she does training for practitioners in that area. And, I think it was called the Pelvic Health Institute. Because I said to her, I said, oh, do you know Jessica Drummond? She said, oh, yeah, of course I know Jessica. I said, do you know Laura Ricci? Yeah, I know them. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember her name. I'll text you with her name when I remember it. I'm so bad at it. I think it was Anne something. But, yeah. Anyway. Small world.
Very cool. That's exciting. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. That's exciting.
My pleasure. Thanks for all of your help and the tips. I'm so grateful for these calls because I feel like it's such an honor and a privilege to pick your brain. Very helpful. So
we call it the Pick Your Brain program. Pick Dr. Rita Ray's brain program.
Because I just learned so much from listening to other people's questions. And like Lynn said, like how I love to be able to witness how your brain works and how it kind of picks through all these things. It's very inspiring. I always learn a lot.
Good. I'm glad. I'm very glad. All right. Thank you. And it looks like Lindsay came back. Yay. Thank you, Laura. Okay, Lindsay, you're back.
I don't know how long I was talking before I realized my phone
now
died.
I forgot what you said last because you were gone. Like, I heard a clunk and I went, hello, are you there? Are you there? And then I said, oh, no, it dropped me. So I went back and I saw that I was still there. So we went on to Laura and then you came back. So
yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about What were we talking about?
We were talking about the gut and the gums, the connection between your gut health and, the bacterial ecosystems or the flora in your mouth and in your gut and how those are connected. And, and I was just kind of curious. Obviously, I had given you a little bit of background on me with having been a C-section baby and having had sort of a suppressed immune system in my adolescence.
Right.
And then
in my later life,
it developed into sort of more of like definitely some kind of dysbiosis going on.
Absolutely.
So, it was just so the time was so perfect that I literally walked out of the dentist and he was like, you're going to have to go to a periodontist and spend tens of thousands of dollars. And I was like, there's got to be a better way. And then your call just happened to be there. So I figured I'd pick your brain about those connections.
About the connections. Yeah, so I was going to ask you, you had just been saying that, this is when you got cut off, is that you were wanting to present your own case, but you keep presenting family members first.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, and then we dropped off. So I would say, you know, go through the process. How much have you done of the protocols that we're teaching you? Go through grand yourself, right? Go through and, because a lot of times people go through it and you're looking for the fancy probiotic and you're looking for the fancy antimicrobial and vitamin C gargle or whatever else, but we're missing the basics and we have to do that. So I don't mean to like belittle anybody, but chewing, relaxing before meals, staying calm through the meals, eating slowly, making sure everything's chewed well, enzymes. So I would say go take yourself through that process. Do the testing, the assessments to see where your shortcomings might lie. Look at the nutritional assessments and see where that might lie. I mean, certainly collagen support to support periodontal health. So your vitamin C, your bioflavonoids, rutin, quercetin, all of that's going to help with gum health. And I would get I can't remember the name of the company. There's several companies that sell oral probiotics. They're lozenges that you suck on for the mouth.
Okay.
There's also a really cool, are you in our Vital community?
I'm in your digestive course. I don't know if I'm in the Vital community.
You should have gotten a free, and you might not have gotten it yet. I think we do it towards like after you've been in for a month or two. But that's for grand. Never mind. But go to vitalhealthcommunity.com. In there, in our archives, so you'd have to go back in the archives. You'd have to be a premium member of that. But in the archives, we have an interview I did with Nadine Artemis, and she gave a recipe for making these probiotic suckers. So it's made with coconut oil, and you put your probiotics in.
Oh, from Living Libations?
Living Libations, yes. That's
yeah,
her.
Okay, I've got her Yogi Tooth Serum, and I'm kind of rocking that out at the moment. But I'll go back and listen to that for sure. She's amazing.
Yeah.
When it comes
She's amazing. And right now, or they just ended this oral health, I saw it in an email from her, this oral health summit that she was on. And let me see if I can find the link to it. But I just got the archives, but I haven't listened to it yet. But all the gut stuff, you know, probiotics for the mouth, for sure. Vitamin C washes even in your mouth, but high dose vitamin C, I'd go bowel tolerance. I always tell people as much liposomal as you can afford and fill in the rest with a buffered. And, liposomal vitamin C. Yeah, let me find this summit thing. If I go here and I can give you the email address of this oral health summit. Microbiome, vitamins balance. Huh, what happened to it? I just signed up for it a couple of days ago.
I can Google it and
yeah,
and
but go look for it. It might be on her site. Here we go. Health Meetings, Hashimoto Summit. I'm all these summits. I just signed up for it the other day. It may still be in one of my inbox things. Yeah, but go look at it. If you go to her site and look up that Oral Health Summit, because she sent it out, Living Libations.
Okay, cool. I'll go check that out for sure. Awesome. And yeah, no, and I will go through the protocol. I mean, I have been sort of like over the last few years, kind of everything just with the chewing, and I have kind of a funny story, not funny, but about my own partner, who he is somebody who's very, he produces an excess amount of stomach acid, and he's very like excited all the time, I guess you could say. He owns his own business, and he's just fiery. And at one point, he was so stressed about everything that was happening with his business and in life that literally, and it's obvious to me, but his digestion completely shut down, and he couldn't digest foods. And I was like, babe, you have to calm down. You have to calm down. And it wasn't until he sort of really kind of took a step back from everything and worked on relaxing and went and did some kite surfing and some of the things that really kind of helped ground him that he could start digesting again. But just such an amazing, you know, example for me of how all of that is so interlinked.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay, well, this is perfect. This is I'm going to go dig into all of this great information and
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, and just really put yourself first, because one of the things I heard, you know, the behind the scenes, I like to read between the lines, when you said you were going to do your case, but you decided, you know, to all these other people, is that probably in your life, you put everybody else ahead of you and ahead of your own self-care. So make time for yourself. Really make time for yourself. Make time for mealtime being sacred and make sure it's balanced and don't just eat, you know, anything on the run, and make sure that you do take your supplements, because a lot of people don't do that. And they say, oh, I'll just take them, you know, whenever, and they don't get around to it. So I just got that sense of you're a giver and you're taking care of others, but maybe not so much yourself.
Yeah, no, I could definitely use a little. I feel like I have a good base, but I could surely use a little bit more for sure.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure you
awesome.
Put yourself up there. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank
awesome.
You,
thanks so much.
You're welcome. All right, everybody, we're ending our time together. I have another call with our other group today, our consumer group. Okay, good. Lynn put some stuff on for the oral probiotics and the liposomal C and the Functional Oral Health Summit. That's it. It's over, but you can still get the recordings. So you can buy the recordings for like $99. So good. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Nice talking to you all. I'm going to open up your lines so you can all say goodbye to each other. Interactive. Bye, everybody.
Bye,
one,
guys.
Two, three. Bye. Talk later.
Bye, guys. Have a great day.
Don't forget to register for Shine. I love to meet you all.
Bye. That's a prep sheet. I could.